think about surrender. It's not an easy thing. To surrender has to say, I'm wrong, I'm not perfect, and I'm yielding my will to the will of someone else. Of course, as Christians, we think, okay, I'm yielding my will to God's will. On a physical level, we have to yield our will to our parents, our spouse, our employer, our governing authority, our who's over you. It's not always easy to yield your will, because it takes the power out of your hands and places it into someone else's hands. I've got great news. To yield your will to God's will, He is trusted, He is proven, He is loving, He is caring, He is over all, and above all else, He is worthy of your surrender. And when you surrender your life to God, He can make all things new again. Rather than me making a mess of it, He can make it beautiful once again. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite a young lady, Dory Hicks, to the stage. She's going to share with us an experience that came out of a women's conference she was just recently at. So, Father, we thank You, Lord God. God, that You do open the door. God, that we do have access to You, to Your throne room. God, that we can come humbly yet boldly before You, God, surrendering our will, surrendering our wants and wishes, God, surrendering our desires to You. God, knowing that You have a great hope and plan for our future. God, knowing, God, that You want to bless us and prosper us. Knowing that You want to heal us and restore us, Lord God. We thank You, God, that we have the opportunity to come before You and surrender our lives, that You can make out of this wreck something beautiful, something new again. God, that You can make out of our devastation and disappointment something great and worthy of Your honor and praise. Father, I thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Miss Dory is an amazing young lady. Very proud of her. Go ahead and come on up. We're going to dote on you for a little bit. Just to get up here and read this is pretty awesome, in my opinion. So I'm very proud of her. We have a lot of amazing young teenagers, young men and women in the church here that love God passionately, that serve Him fully. This is an essay she wrote for one of her classes here at the school. So what a light shining so brightly in a world of darkness around us. And we could focus on what's not happening right, what's not going good in the world, but I want to focus on something great, Miss Dorian Hicks and her essay, and one of our bright lights shining in our community. So thank you, Dory. Stage is yours.
Thank you, Ivy, for that lovely introduction. Just so you guys know, I'm really nervous, so if I mess up or something, just, yeah. So, forgive me. As he was saying, I went to the women's conference in Orfino a while back, and it was a really emotional experience for me. It did a lot of amazing things for me. Also, if I cry, that might happen too. And about a week after, I had to write a personal narrative for my English class. And I just couldn't think of any other experience or memory to write about except for this experience I had at the women's conference. So I'm going to read it to you guys, and I'll explain a couple things, and we'll just go from there, see what happens. Okay. It's called My Eyes Were Open. I've always felt this pain, this sense of hollowness or brokenness. I almost had started to just accept it. When something as painful as this tugs at you for so long, you get tired of trying to get rid of it. Tired of praying about it, and most of all, tired of crying about it. At the beginning, when the event that started these years of pain and aching happened, I had felt that prayer and every conference for God or service at church would help. And they would, for a week or so, and then it would all come rushing back. That had started to sound like a broken record until 2 weeks ago, which it was longer ago, but This women's conference I went to opened my eyes and healed my heart in a way no other event had. Me and Maya were set to sing at this women's conference in Orfino. I had never been. This was the weekend before homecoming, so we had been decorating the hallway all afternoon. Maya just went ahead and brought her stuff to the school so that we could leave for the conference right after we were done with hallways. We needed to be in Orfino by 5. Before we got out of town, my mother and I got into a fight. I was being stubborn and so focused on getting to this event that I was forgetting all my other responsibilities. When we finally got on the highway headed to Orfino, I felt drained and upset with myself for not taking care of stuff before I left and for almost making Maya and I late. When we finally got there, I felt this spirit of reassurance that there was nothing to worry about. It's like I walked in and someone grabbed the weight off my shoulders and held it for me. Everyone there was super nice and so excited to worship and hear God's word. Once we started worshiping, it was almost as if the whole building was covered in the Holy Spirit. He was everywhere. Everyone was singing with their hands. Everyone was singing with their hands in the air and voices practically screaming the words. It was the most beautiful worshiping I had ever heard. After we were done with worship, the lady went on stage to start our first session of the conference. She did an amazing job talking to us too, teaching us about being his children and about being women. The story of Esther was the part of the Bible that she spoke about the entire weekend. It was a breathtaking and emotional experience. When the session was over, she had us worship longer and just do whatever we needed to do. She also brought the prayer team up in case anyone wanted or needed prayer. During that entire session, I cried. I cried and cried, and at first, I wasn't even sure what I was crying about. During her preaching, she had talked about mothers and daughters, and as we started worshiping again, it was like she had reached and shone a light on a broken part of me that I didn't even know was there. Eventually, I broke down. I had to sit down and just cry and pray. The tears were flowing out of me like a river. Finally, a lovely lady that I will pray and thank God for the rest of my life came over and asked if I was okay. I think she was part of the prayer team. I told her how I was feeling and how I thought and why I thought I was feeling that way. She asked me to sit with her on the floor against the wall and pray with her. I will forever be grateful for her. After the first prayer, she asked the Holy Spirit to show me the place where I started believing these lies about myself, lies of unworthiness and undeserving. And in that moment, when I closed my eyes, I saw a moment in my past that I had been seeing in my sleep and at other times for a while. It was back before my biological mom left, back when I was around 5 or maybe a little older. And I recently talked to my parents, and I was probably actually about like 9 or 10. So my age was a little off, but I had just woken up for a nap, and my mother was nowhere to be seen. I looked in the bathroom where she usually was when she was getting high or injecting herself with Lord knows what. Then I checked her bedroom. She lived in a small apartment, so those were the only separate rooms. By this time, I was getting worried and started to cry. I double-checked everything again while crying out her name, thinking she'd just pop out from somewhere like it was a joke or something. Finally, I look at the front door that goes out to the lobby, out to the parking lot. And for some reason, I had this feeling that that's where I need to go. So that's where I went, and that's where she was. She was sitting on the sidewalk smoking. When she turned around and saw me, she acted like nothing was wrong, like I was there the entire time. So that's the story I told the lady when she asked the Holy Spirit to show me the moment. Next, she asked the Holy Spirit to show me where the Lord was in that moment. When I closed my eyes, he was walking with me the entire time. He was right by my side. Then when I looked at the front door, he was right by it, looking at me with this fatherly look in his eyes. And when I walked through that door, he went with me the rest of the way, right by my side the entire time. I opened my eyes, and I was awestruck. That event had been driving me crazy. And actually, prior to this conference, I had been seeing that event in my dreams, daydreaming, just thinking about it, and I had no idea where it was coming from, and now I know. It made me think I was alone. Because of Julie, my biological mom, I thought I wasn't worthy of a mom, that I was always going to be alone in the mother column. These thoughts and that mindset had put a wall between me and my stepmom, Jamie. Unknowingly, I had put this wall between her and I. So finally, the lady says to me to denounce those lies. either in my head or out loud. And I did. It was so refreshing. I was finally free of all the lies and things I had believed for so long. It was amazing. Once we finished the prayer, she said something I will hold with me till the day I die. She said that while we were praying, God showed her a vision of him pulling me out of the water and walking me up a trail with him. It took my breath away. Then she went on to pray with someone else. I could not stop seeing God in both those moments. I will never forget that day, one of the best days of my life. That day, my faith was restored and my relationship with God had grown. To turn that dark memory into a bright one with him by my side. It made me realize how amazing he really is, that he is always by my side and will never leave me, even when I feel more alone than ever. One day, I can only hope to affect someone as strongly as that lovely woman affected me. God worked wonders through her and in turn used her to bless me. And so after I wrote this essay, I felt a lot of, kind of like whenever I walked into the building, I felt weight kind of take it off my shoulders. And this was like 4 weeks ago that this event happened. And so I've been rereading this and it's helped me to stay on that path because Lord knows there's temptations in this world that take us off track. And I've had to like sit down before I go to sleep and just reread this to like refresh myself and remind myself that he is there and that he's worthy of it all and that he's done so many amazing things for me. And so, I mean, even whenever we were peer reviewing in English class, my teacher comes up to me and he's like, Dory, I just want you to know that was an amazing essay. And I just really hope that it even touched him. Like, the person who was peer reviewing my essay, I won't say their name, but I got the peer review back and it said all these amazing things. And I know he's not someone who is always going to church on Sundays and very religious or I guess deep in faith. And so I really hope that somehow this essay got to him and touched his heart in a way that other things hadn't. And I hope to affect other people with it too. So.
Amen. Hold on. Don't leave yet. Amen. We're going to say a quick blessing of prayer over Dory. And of course, all our young people, remember them in prayer. They're out there in the trenches every day, every week. And life isn't as easy as it seems at times. And you don't know what they're going through. So a kind word, a kind look. A simple gesture of generosity, of friendliness, of kindness, of love goes a long ways for one of these young people. Sorry. Sorry. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful light that Dory is shining into this world, God, into, God, the hallways, the classrooms where you would take her, God, into our community amongst her peers and teachers, Lord God. And Father, we ask, God, for your shadow of protection to be over her. God, that you would go before her, making the path straight, making the right choices clear and easy. God, giving her strength and endurance to run the race that you have set before her. God, that this would be a beginning and a catalyst to the ministry that you've called her to, Lord God. That she would begin seeing herself as the young woman you have created and designed her to be. God, that she would not be distracted or deceived, but that she would have clear vision in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. I'm going to invite Miss Linda Burnside up. I know we're a week after on pastor appreciation, but we had one of our wonderful pastors, probably the best youth pastor in the world, and we're going to honor him today.
Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'd like to thank all of you who have brought gifts and cards and special words for our pastors. And even though this is the end of the formal honoring of our pastors, let's remember to be thankful for our pastors and give them kind words and send prayers out for them all through the year. And so Joel Harden, who is one of our board members, is going to come up today, and he's going to do the honors for our youth pastor, Johnny.
Johnny, if you and Bailey would come up. And for any members that we have of Johnny's youth group, please come up also. And I know some of you are out there. I'd like to stand, be able to stand almost as tall as you are. Oh. I just thought that for this presentation, many of you do not know Johnny and Bailey. They have two girls and one son. Many of you may have probably seen the son. He's quite an active young lad, and the two young ladies, this tall now, and I remember when they were like this, are growing fast, and it's a family situation. Johnny didn't take this job knowing that he was going to be up here today, or ever thinking that the job was going to be the task, the privilege was going to be what it is. And you see these young people up here on the stage. They were most all younger in this congregation and came up through this congregation. And we have another 50, 60, 70 younger kids in the congregation now, or their parents or guardians are members thereof, and they also are coming up faster than old people can believe. And so I just wanted everyone to see, just on any day, there are this many, many youth members in the congregation, and Johnny has to take care of them. He has to be responsible, he has to listen to them, has to plan for them, talk with them. This is the youth group that mentors to the younger ones in the congregation as well. And so we all remember when, I'm looking to see, I thought maybe Ridge was going to come up or would be here, but maybe he is. So my first time under the lights up here, I'm not sure. Now I know what Arby talks about. You can't see as much. But I remember when Johnny and Bailey's youngest ones were just young, and this takes a couple. This takes someone for Johnny to go home from meetings and say, you need to go with me next week. You need to be a part of this. And so that's the kind of a youth group that we have. And Johnny has how many years now?
How many is it, Arby?
Fifteen years, yeah. And now Johnny will be even going further as the district youth pastor, because this group is growing so much that the other churches in the district are hopefully patterning their youth efforts. And the youth, the ones that aren't voting already this year, are going to be in the next year or two. And we're not trying to tell them how to vote. We're just trying to tell them that, as we tell ourselves, this is our future. Whatever they vote for, I'm going to live for. So That's the way it works. And all of these younger ones out here are going to be this age almost before you can get the new clothes bought. That's the way it goes. So I just want to say thank you, Johnny. The Lord thanks you and Bailey because you are a couple together. And for everyone in our youth group, the Holy Spirit is here with us. Lord is here with us. And Father God, we just ask that you continue to bless this youth group and each member thereof, all of their assistants and their attentions, Father God, and that you bless them as each one goes forth. And as Dory gave her testimony today, each one will have problems if they don't already have their first thought should be to turn to the Lord and say, Father God King, bless me with this answer to this situation, to this problem. And I'm sure that Johnny has said that 49 plus times just in the last year with the impossible situations that are presented by multiple youth. This is the growing season of their lives. And Father God, we just ask that you are there every day and every hour of every day, and that the Holy Spirit is with them when they mentor, when they talk with each other and with others, to lead and guide them and bring them forth, Father, that we may all prosper together with you, Father, in your name. We ask and we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
I'm not going to preach, so you don't have to worry. But I want to say thank you guys very much. We have been extremely blessed over the years that we've been here, and with the gifts and the things that you've written down and whatever. I just want to personally thank you up front. It means a lot personally to hear those things, to see those things. And yes, thank you. And also thank you for being youth pastors with me. The most effectiveness happens in the home, and I need your help, you know, so I can't do it all on my own. And I just want to thank you guys for raising great students and sending them our way one night a week. And it's just been a really blessing for me as well. And yeah, like I said, I'm not going to preach, so I'll keep it short. But thank you.
I'm not going to miss this opportunity. All right. I just want to pray specifically for Johnny and Bailey, just because I know they're seeking the Lord for direction. And should I turn right or left in some specific areas? So if you would agree with me today, we'll pray for that. Lord, I just thank you again, as Joel did, for Johnny and Bailey, for their family. And God, I pray that as they're on their knees seeking you and looking for direction, that you would give them wisdom and peace that passes understanding in our human mind. And God, just set their face like a flint. I pray that they would just be persistent and persevere in their faith. And God, we just pray that that you would just grant them the peace and the understanding that they're looking for. And God, just make their path perfectly straight. We thank you for them and bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Would you give that to Irene, please?
I'll do that.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
We are blessed here at the Life Center. Wonderful pastors and teachers, volunteers. We're very, very blessed. So we're going to dismiss kids for Children's Church, ages 3 to 5th grade. I have classes available over in the East Wing. If you could take your students there, sign them into class, please, and then remember to sign them out after service. I'm always in trouble for that one. And then also the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore on my right. If you have children 0 to 2 years of age you'd like to take there. And it does have audio and visual also. And as always, they're welcome to sit right here in the middle of the message and enjoy. So, fun. We have a big week ahead of us as a nation and as the world. It's a big week. So we're going to talk about choices today. Do you like choices? Before we jump into the Word, we're going to talk to God. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your Word. God, for the truth of your Word. God, for the unfallible truth of your Word. God, we thank you that we have it for a great instruction manual for our lives to help lead and guide us. God, each and every day through the choices that we face, Lord God, we thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is available unto us, God, that we can seek you for counsel and guidance and wisdom. And Father, we just ask today that you would open our hearts and minds, God, as we read of your word, as we hear, God, of your principles, your values, God, that our hearts would be embedded, God, to receive them as truth, God, that we would act upon them in our lives, God, bringing you glory, bringing you honor in all that we do. Father, we thank you for this. We invite you, Holy Spirit, today to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I like choices. I really like choices. When I go to the supermarket and I want a candy bar, I don't want the same candy bar every time. I've got my favorites. And I try not to eat them very often, but I like choices when I go pick out my favorite ice cream or my second or third favorite ice cream or my first or second or third favorite topping. I like choices. Sometimes I like all my toppings on all my favorite ice creams. If we didn't have choices, we couldn't do that. We could have our one favorite ice cream and our one favorite topping. How boring would that be? When I go into the woods and go for a hike or go hunting, I want to see some new country once in a while. I don't want to walk the same trail, see the same sights every time, though many of them never get old. I like choices. One thing I really like is the freedom of choice. We're free to choose. If you start traveling out of this country and start getting into some foreign countries and third world countries, the choices are extremely limited. You don't have a choice of the outfit you get to put on in the morning. You have one choice. It's your everyday outfit. It's your work outfit. It's your play outfit. It's your church outfit. It's your go to bed outfit. It's your wake up outfit. We have choices. I didn't have a hard time putting clothes on today, but I had choices. I could have wore something fancy. Could have wore my wonderful shorts. Could have wore long sleeves, could have wore button up. We have choices. What are choices you're faced with in your life? And how do you make appropriate choices that are God-honoring with your life? We're going to look at some choices today of some biblical characters, some choices that impacted a daily routine to some choices that impacted the rest of the world's routine and eternity. And we're going to look at some principles of God's Word, 10 principles that I've taken down that we should take into consideration before we make a choice. Some choices we have before us today. Of course, COVID. All the COVID choices that have just come up. Do I use hand sanitizer or do I not? Do I use foam or do I use gel? Do I use aerosol or pump? I mean, do I use electronic? Do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? These are pretty minimal choices. It's like, do I want steak with my fries or steak with my potato. It's not a big deal. But unfortunately, we in the world have made it a big choice. The bigger choice is the one that comes after that. And it's the choice for me to separate from you because of your choice. Literally. All across the world, friendships have ended. Relationships have ended. People have left churches. People have gone to different churches because of a choice over a mask or no mask, over hand sanitizer or no hand sanitizer. These are not choices we should be bickering about. But the greater choices, the higher calling of God, the choice, do you love Jesus or not? That's an eternal choice that has eternal implications and not just right now, today, implications. So we need to be careful in making our choices. Why are we making these choices? In 2 days, we'll have the elections. It's a pretty big choice. There's two candidates running for the presidency. There's lots of other ballots to be voted on as well. In the scheme of things, they're pretty big choices. But in the overall God view of things, it's a pretty small choice. It's going to affect the next 4, 8, 12 years of our economy, of our world. But it's not going to affect eternity. Unless you and I make poor choices and allow it to. And then it's going to affect the eternity of the people that you and I were supposed to be witnessing the love of God to. But instead, rather, we gave them the cold shoulder and we ostracized them because of who they checked in the ballot and made their choice to represent. So the greater choice is for you and I to represent our Lord God Almighty with love and compassion towards all. Because the Lord and Savior I serve died for the world, period. All of humanity, from Adam and Eve to the end of time, Jesus died for the world. So don't let your minimal everyday choices become conflicts to where you would kick people out of your life in communication, take away your ministry, your witnessing platform, but rather make those choices that would promote love, that would promote generosity, that would promote Christ in all that you do. We're often faced with really tough choices. I know so many good hunting spots. Sometimes I wake up and want to go hunting, and it's like, man, where do I go? It's like, this spot's produced, that spot's produced, that spot's produced, that spot's produced. And it's like, man, how do I make a choice? The Word of God in James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us this. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We can seek God for wisdom. This is awesome. I can be as dumb as a post. And I can seek God for wisdom into my situation and look like a genius. How did Arby ever come up with that? Because I'm so smart? No. But because I was intelligent enough to invite God into my situation, to ask for the wisdom and guidance and counsel of the Holy Spirit, and I was willing to submit myself, surrender myself to His authority and His wisdom, and sit until I hear the answer He gives me to deliver. So if you lack wisdom, all you have to do is say, God, I need some wisdom. I need some help. I need some direction. And He can wake you up in the middle of the night in a dream and begin showing you your situation before you even get to the point of knowing. You need to know that situation, just like Dory spoke about this morning. She said weeks before that, God was showing her this, preparing her for when she would need that wisdom and when to release it. Our God is an awesome God. He is alive. He is well. And if you're listening, if you will humble yourself and submit to Him, He will speak to you into your situations. He will give you guidance and understanding and wisdom and counsel if you will listen. So some things we should ask ourselves. Should I make this choice? 10 principles when decision making. The first one, what biblical principles should inform my decision? What biblical principles should inform my decision? Not what Arby principles should inform my decision. Not what governmental principles should inform my decision. But what biblical principles should inform my decision? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So the principles of the Word of God should govern your decision and nothing else. Because every word out of the mouth of God is truth. And he will not misinform you. Number two, do I have all the facts? Before making a choice or decision, do I have all the facts? This is usually when we get hoof and mouth disease. And before we gather all the facts, we start spewing information or a rebuttal or a defense. Or, I know how you can fix that. I know how you can do that. And before we have all the puzzle pieces put together, then we go, oh, I thought I was helping, but really I was hurting. I thought I was being generous and kind, but really I was not. I was being negative and destructive. Do I have all the facts? Proverbs 18, verse 13. To answer before listening. There is a reason we have two ears and one mouth. That is folly and shame. To answer before listening. This is one of the greatest skills of the 21st century. That is a horrible skill to learn. To answer before listening. I sit in a lot of meetings. I sit on a lot of boards and different things of that nature. And there's often so much crosstalk going on that nothing is really getting done. Because nobody wants to listen and everybody wants to speak. The Bible gives us great information, a great principle to make decisions by. Gather all the facts before you make a decision. This has got me in trouble many times. It's like, I wish I would have known that before I did this. This is not good. I wish I would have known that. Have you ever been in that situation in your life making a choice? And you look back and go, oh, I wish I could undo that. Choices are like toothpaste. They're all minty fresh. Now, choices are like toothpaste, as in once they come out of the tube, they don't go back in the tube. And you have to live with the consequences of your choices. Whether good or bad, biblical principle, you make a choice, you plant a seed, and now you get to eat its fruit. You get to reap the harvest you planted through your choices. Number three, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Is the pressure of time forcing you to make a premature decision? Don't allow the pressures and restraints of course, if you're on any sort of social media, you always have these pop-up ads. You have 24 hours to make this purchase or it goes away forever. Or you have people in your life like, you need to get it now because they'll never make it again. Or, this is the buy of a lifetime. Hurry now. Or, are you making choices under pressure of time restraints? That's not a good time to make a decision. Unless it's like life or death, you need to make a decision. You shouldn't be making choices in those moments. Proverbs 19, verse 2. I'm going to make a choice to use my hard copy. All right. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Don't let the pressures of life force you into making bad choices or bad decisions. I've made a lot of choices in my life, and I often seek God for choices in life and say, hey, God, just give me your peace if it's of you. And if it's not of you, fill me full of anxiety. And often when I go in and make a big decision, like buying a vehicle or a house or a property or something major, like when it's been of God, I've just had this peace, like ordering a cheeseburger at the local restaurant. It's like, yeah, I'll take that one. Thank you. Sign the check. Done. But when it's not of God, I have like this turmoil going on. Like, I want to puke. But I invite his wisdom and counsel into my situation. Say, God, is this of you? If it is, speak to me. He doesn't speak in words, but it's in my spirit. I feel it. I know it. And as we build relationship with him and get to understand and feel it and know it, then it's like every day, like, I don't have to look to make sure I'm dressed right now. I feel it. I know I'm dressed. Hearing God's voice becomes that natural as we continue in a relationship with him. And we don't have to say, well, is the Holy Spirit here today or is he down Tijuana on vacation? No, he's right here and there too. Cool thing about God, he's ever present. Wherever you go, he go. Just remember to invite him along. Don't shut the door. Number four, what are the possible motives driving my decision? What motives are driving your decision? The choices you're making. Proverbs 16:2. This is where we often get in trouble, the first part of this verse. All a person's ways seem pure to them. Are you guys always right? Right? You always make the best decisions. Often we think that way of ourselves. But motives are weighed by the Lord. Motives are weighed by the Lord. When we get to a place of thinking we're always right, we're always correct, everybody else is wrong, we're in a really bad spot for choice making, decision making. Your motives will be weighed by the Lord Almighty. So what is motivating or driving your decision? Number five, how should past experiences inform my decision? How should past experiences inform my decision? You know, you often make decisions or choices based on your past experiences, right? Like if I went to a restaurant and ordered, let's say, oatmeal and found a piece of the dishwasher sponge in my oatmeal, I'm probably going to make a choice not to go back to that restaurant, right? My past experience is dictating my future decision. I'm not going back to the soap sponge oatmeal place. Don't eat there. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Ugh. When I don't learn from my mistakes, I don't learn from my past, and I continue, I think it's called insanity. I continue the same cycle, doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I keep thinking, this time I'm going to have a different result. That's the pure definition of insanity. You've got to change your process or change your decision making to get a different result in your future. You can't continue making the same bad choices over and over and over again and expect a different result. So how should your past experiences inform your decision? You should learn from them. You should grow from them. You should develop from them. You should say, you know what, last time I did this on my own and it didn't work, but you know, I didn't invite God into my situation. I think this time I'm going to invite God and I'm going to wait for his wisdom and counsel before I move forward again. See if you don't get a different result, because I promise you, you will. Number six, what is the collective counsel of my community? What community are you involved in? Not do you live in, but are you involved in? Meaning, who do you let speak into your life? Who do you let tell you that you're out of line, you need to get your act together? Who do you let sit and pray with you and encourage and strengthen you? Or are those people, people who tear you down, who wear on your nerves, who tell you what a failure and disappointment you are, how you never amount to anything? Are they people who go behind your back and gossip and talk about you? What community are you allowing to influence your decision making? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? Who are you allowing to come into proximity of influence in your life? Because they will greatly influence your decisions, whether positive or negative. Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. The Bible encourages us again and again to get counsel, to seek wisdom, not just from anybody, but trusted leadership over us, trusted friendships around us. Don't just get counsel from your fortune cookie. Number seven, have I honestly considered the warning signs? Do you know God gives us warning signs? Sometimes we just blow right by them. Say, huh, look at that game crossing. Look at that. Probably don't need to slow down. They're probably just jackrabbits. And out of the bushes jumps Monopoly. Bam! Game crossing. You get it? You'll get it later. Just, you know, watch it online again. You'll get it. Man, it was kind of stoic in here. We had to do something. Is checkers better? But have you considered honestly the warning signs about the decisions you're about to make? Have you thought about them? Proverbs 10:17. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Discipline should be strongly influencing your decision making. You should be disciplined to look at the principles of God's word before making your decisions. Otherwise, we're leading others astray through our influence, through our choices, through our actions. Number eight, have I considered the possible outcomes of my course of action? Have I considered the possible outcomes of my course of action? Now, I'm usually a man of action. I just go do things and get things done, and I often forget to think about what might happen if I go stand out on the end of a brittle, old, rotten limb. And so I have fallen out of many trees. You would think I would learn. As a young kid, a young boy growing up, I fell out of lots of trees because I would want to see how high I could get in the tree. And I would want to see how far out on a limb I could get. And I wasn't weighing the possibilities of outcomes of, it's possible the limb could break and you could fall. I think about that a little bit more now because it hurts a lot more when I fall. But I still find myself in these predicaments going, man, if I just would have thought about the outcome of this, I would be in a much better place right now. I wouldn't be shoveling out of a snowbank. I wouldn't be. I've been in lots of predicaments. We could go on, but we don't have time for those. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Have you considered the outcome of your actions? Are you building or tearing down? Are you influencing and developing? Or are you criticizing and destroying? What are you doing with your hands or your words spoken or your actions produced? Because your decisions have great influence over those around you. Number 9. Could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Ouch. You mean there's more than me to worry about? I have to worry about what other people think? Especially myself as a pastor, a public figure in town. I have to really think about what I'm doing. I can't yell boo at football games. They have all these standards. And I do try to be a very positive influence. I do try to make decisions that influence people positively. I even go watch the Kamei Cubs play and cheer for them as a Ram fan. That's hardcore. Let's go, 33. I love the Cubs too. Just so you know, I'm a people fan. I'm a really big people fan. But I could allow my choices to be so cut and dry that I only support Rams and I only do Ram things and I'm a Ram. I bleed Ram. No. Because God loves a lot more than just Rams. Remember, he died for the world. He died for all the people, not just our hometown. He died for the world, and my choices are much greater if I'll influence all those around me. Is there a better option? Number 10, excuse me. Wait, we didn't read that last verse, did we? Proverbs 25:26. Jumping ahead. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. When we give way to wickedness, we started with a spring of living water, of pure, clean, healthy drinking water, full of encouragement, full of love and compassion. But when we give way to wickedness, it pollutes the water. When I was in Africa, they have water everywhere, actually. Like you dig 10 feet down and you hit like water and it just keeps coming. The problem with these shallow wells is animals come to drink from them, fall in and die, which then pollutes the water, which makes it only good for watering crops. So that's their water problem. It always gets polluted or stagnant or stale, and then it kills a bunch of people. This is what happens inside of us. If we don't take care of our decisions, if we don't think about how our decisions are going to jeopardize or hinder our witness for God. And once you get a polluted well, it's known that it's toxic and it kills people. So then people stay away from that well. If you get the reputation of being toxic or polluted, you lose your interest and influence. You lose your witness. And once you've done that, it takes a long time to become a good influence again. It takes a long time for people to trust you once again. And sometimes that never happens. Number 10. Is there a better option that would allow me to make a greater impact for God's kingdom? Is there a better option of the choices before me that would allow me to make a better impact for the kingdom of God? Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. For me, it all has to boil down to this in my decision and choice making. Am I promoting the salvation of the lost? Am I promoting the goodness of God? Am I promoting the love of God to the world around me? And I wish I always made that good choice, that positive choice. Occasionally I don't, and I have to repent. But everything boils down to that. Because Jesus came to save the world. And that's what we're supposed to be promoting with our choices and exemplifying with our choices. Oh, so many more notes. So much more fun. We're going to look at four stories real quick in the Bible. And I'll end with this one really awesome story about me on a ledge with a lion. Just to bait you in. I mean, you don't have to stay and watch if you don't want to. So Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. Everything's going perfect. Everything's wonderful. The garden waters itself. There's no weeds. There's no thistles and thorns. There's no sin yet in the world. And the serpent comes and begins deceiving Eve and giving her a few options. You know, you have all those trees, but have you thought about this tree? She looks at the fruit, and of course, we can find the account of this in Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6 is the one we're going to look at today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So Eve had some choices. Adam had some choices. They both made wrong choices, which cost them what? It cost them a daily walk with God in the garden. He would come and visit them daily and hang out with them, so much that they knew the sound of him coming in the garden. They gave up a life of sin-free world. We can't even imagine what that was like. But we'll get to experience it in eternity. That's cool. We still have that to look forward to. What else did they give up? A labor-free food and water production system. No pulling weeds, no spraying thistles, but oh, look, yummy grapes, oh, oranges, oh, yay, water. It was easy. So what was at stake? Their relationship with God was on the table. Their daily walking and communing, the ease and access. What were the repercussions? We're still dealing with them today because of one choice that a man and a woman made. Until the end of the earth, we will deal with the consequences of their choices made that day. Wow. Do my choices have that much implication? Perhaps. So some of our choices are of a great magnitude on a worldwide scale for all of time. The second one we're going to look at is Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Of course, a lot of the Israelites were worshiping the foreign gods or bowing down to idols, serving them. So Joshua stands up before the council. Of course, he's been leading the warring campaigns. This is after they've seen the hand of God miraculously time and time again. And Joshua stands up and says, hey, look, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the God your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you were living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This should be a choice that you make. I highly recommend you make this a choice if you haven't already. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What is Joshua putting on the line? What's at risk? What's at stake? His leadership. When he stands up before the million plus people he's over, and says this, they're going to say, no, we're going to serve the foreign gods, or yes, we're with you. His leadership is at stake. His influence is at stake. His family is at stake. But what are the repercussions if he doesn't do it? He will fall out of the blessing of the Lord God Almighty. He will fall out of relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. So it's a decision well worth making. So he makes this decision, and of course it's impacted Israel, which is still a nation today. Pretty big implications in his decision that day to say we will serve God. Another one in John chapter 9, or 6 rather, verse 9. There's a boy that shows up to a picnic where Jesus is teaching. He's got a couple loaves of bread, a couple little fish, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I believe is the accurate number. And he's just going to have a snack while Jesus is teaching, and Jesus' disciples look at him and say, how are we going to feed all these people? It would take a half year's wages to feed all these people. And in verse 9 of chapter 6, one of his disciples brings this boy to him and says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? So this boy has a choice to make. Am I going to allow them to take my lunch and feed all these people? Which obviously is impossible, so I might as well enjoy it myself. Sometimes it looks as though the choice you're making is very minimal. But if you make the right choice in the right situation, God can magnify it to his glory and his honor. So, of course, we know that he says, here, have my lunch. And Jesus blesses it. And they begin handing out food, and they feed a multitude of thousands and thousands and have 12 baskets left over in the end. If we make the right choice in the right moment, God can magnify it for his glory. Make God-honoring choices. He didn't have a lot at stake. He had his lunch. Some of our choices seem very minimal. It's like, you know, I'm giving up my lunch. Big deal. But oh, the magnitude that it had on the crowd that day of showing the glory and the power of God. The implications had eternal value of letting people know that their Creator loves them. And the last one we'll look at is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just before they arrest him, he's going to the cross. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Huge choice Jesus has to make here. His life is at stake. He's giving up the reins to his rights, his power and authority. I mean, he was the Son of God. He could have said, no, I'm not doing it. Just kill all those guys, and I'm going back to heaven. I don't care about the humans. But he didn't. He made a choice to lay down his rights, to lay down his life, and say, Father, I don't like what's coming down the pipe for me, but I'm choosing to do your will and not my own. And of course, we know this has eternal salvation as an implication. Because of what Christ did that day, the choice he made that day to say, I'll go to the cross for them. I'll make the payment for them. I'll cover them with my blood and my sacrifice so they can be found worthy. What a choice he made that day. The stakes were very high. So what are choices you're making in your life? And how are they impacting and influencing people around you? Because far more reaching than you think is your loaf of bread and your fish, your everyday supplements, your everyday routine is what that represents. It has much greater value than you could ever imagine. Just like sharing your essay. Everyday routine for a high school kid. You go do schoolwork. How many people will that reach and influence? Change their perspective on who God is. Change their perspective that they now have hope. Change their perspective on there is light at the end of my dark tunnel. How many people? So I had a very... probably close to life or death choice to make one day. I was guiding a lion hunt up on the St. Joe River. It's up by Coeur d'Alene if you don't know where it is. I was tracking this lion, and my hound was out in front of me tracking this lion. The conditions were really tough. And I'm following my dog, and I hear my dog, and she's pretty loud. She's out in front of me, and pretty soon she starts getting a little bit quieter and a little bit quieter. And pretty soon she's almost out of hearing, and pretty soon I can't hear her. I'm like, man, she must have jumped it, because she went from really loud to really quiet pretty quickly, which means she's covering a lot of country and getting out of here. So I'm like, good, we have the cat jumped. We'll go find it. So I'm tracking and following her tracks around, and pretty soon I'm like, and I kind of look around. I'm against this rock face, and on this side is a rock face, and I'm on about a 2-foot ledge, and over here is about a 20-foot drop. I'm probably out of the camera. Sorry, Keith. So I've got a ledge or a cliff in front of me that goes up 40, 50 feet, and a cliff beside me that goes up 40, 50 feet, and a drop-off over here for 20 feet. I'm like, wow, the dog tracks came right here. Like, where could they have gone? I'm kind of baffled, like, because I've been going around this ledge. Now that I look behind me, I've been on this ledge for 60 or 70 feet, and I was so focused on the tracks, I wasn't really paying attention to where I was going or what I was doing. And all of a sudden, I noticed right here, about 3 feet away from me, is this big, giant black hole in the rock. I'm like, oh, cool, a cave. I'll bet the lion was bedded in there, and my dog jumped it out, and now they're up the hill. And all of a sudden, from somewhere in the back of this dark hole, I hear, which obviously I know somebody turned the faucet on. Just kidding. I recognize this as a mountain lion growl. And now I'm like, oh, I'm in a really bad predicament. So I start backing up the ledge, and all of a sudden there's this lion standing 3 feet in front of me on this ledge with me. And I'm going, Lord, please let my dog stay back in that cave somewhere. And at this point, I'm thinking it probably killed my dog, because it just doesn't usually go well when you have lions trapped in holes. And all of a sudden, my dog comes out of the hole. And now my dog's about a foot from this lion. And I've got a little 5-month-old puppy that I scoop up off the ledge. And I'm looking over the ledge, and I'm looking up the cliff, and I'm looking back around the ledge going, I can't scramble on this icy ledge fast enough to outrun a mountain lion. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to take the plunge. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want my dog to bite him in the butt. This is not a good spot. And I look and go, yep, my gun's in my pack. Back on my snowmobile. Not with me. I'm in a predicament. I have some choices to make. I can try to backpedal on this ledge, which is icy and snowy and slippery. Or I can jump. Or I can try to tame the kitty. Obviously, tame him. I saw this done at the circus. I just found a stool with 3 legs. It was really easy. So I eventually decide that jumping is my best option. There's 3 feet of snow on the ground. It's going to break my fall a little bit. I kind of look and like, man, I hope there's not any sharp, jagged sticks in the snow where I'm about to land. So I grab my puppy and we jump, and the cat runs back off the ledge. Anyway, we ended up catching it. My hunter was able to harvest it. But in life, our choices look like this sometimes. You're caught between a rock and a hard place, or a rock and some claws and teeth. And you're like, God, it just doesn't look good no matter what I do. And we have to take that leap of faith, saying, God, I'm looking in your word. I'm looking at the principles of what your word says. And I'm looking in, we take these 10 principles we read through today, and we start applying them and God's principles to our situation and to our choice making, and say, these are what's going to impact eternity. So as hard as it may be today to turn and take the leap off this cliff, it's better than trying to scurry back around the ledge, which is the obvious safer route if the lion's not chasing you. Choices aren't easy to make, but we have to look at, where's this choice going to project us today? Where's it going to project us tomorrow? Where's it going to project my children, my grandchildren, and people into eternity, which of course is the greatest choice of all, getting people to heaven to experience Christ as their Lord and Savior? Where are your choices projecting you and those around you? Don't be afraid to take that leap of faith. God's got a good bed of snow down there waiting to catch you, scoop you up, and make all things new again. Amen. Go make better choices. We have big choices to make this week. Some of the biggest choices you'll make this week won't be at the ballot box. They're going to be how you treat people that didn't vote like you at the ballot box. They're going to be how you influence people that aren't like you and show them unconditional love and mercy and generosity as our Father has extended to us. So God bless you guys. Oh, the new Wayne is coming to close us today.
Amen.
Irene, would you come, please? Thank you. Amen.